This week, Governor Ducey signed into law a bill that defines dyslexia and will allow the State Board of Education to create a handbook for schools that allows that outlines ways to identify students with dyslexia and helps them to better work to improve their reading and comprehension. Representative Jill Norgaard introduced the bill.
There's 14 states that have dyslexia handbooks, so we are the 15th state, and 28 states have some type of dyslexia legislation. The definition is something that we needed to put in statute to clarify. The handbook is going to bring visibility to this condition, and so parents who have children who they suspect may be dyslexic will have tools and resources to help with their kids' condition.
Representative Norgaard says cementing the definition of dyslexia and making sure that educators are equipped to address it is key.
The federal government did not allow schools to talk about the D word or dyslexia until the end of 2015. And so kids who had dyslexia were not really being decoded and identified in the schools. And so as we were visiting the schools and we were talking about early literacy and how we can improve early literacy with focused interventions, I kept meeting kids, students, and parents who have children who are dyslexic. And some districts address it pretty well, but it's not consistent between districts. And even within districts, it's not consistent from schools to schools.
So to find out more about dyslexia and why this kind of legislation is necessary, I turn to Sally Shaywitz. She's a professor of learning development at Yale University, and she's the author of Overcoming Dyslexia. And I asked her if she thinks laws like these are necessary.
Well, it would be wonderful if they weren't. But the situation is that such laws are very necessary. I don't think many people realize how common dyslexia is, affecting 1 out of 5. It's probably the most common disorder people see in schools. And when you talk about learning disabilities, dyslexia represents 80% to 90% of all learning disabilities. And I read through the law, but I didn't notice that they were doing screening for dyslexia. And that becomes very important. A study that's been ongoing that I've directed for quite a number of years looked at what's called the reading achievement gap. That is the gap in reading between dyslexic students and typical readers. And you know what we found? We found that that gap is already present in first grade. So waiting till third grade or fourth grade is too late. The impact of dyslexia is present already in first grade and visible, and it doesn't get smaller. It goes all the way through school. So what needs to happen? Instead of doing things after children are struggling and are behind, we need to have a preventative approach. And that approach is to screen kindergartners and first graders for the possibility of dyslexia.
It sounds like you think this law should actually do more, not less.
Exactly.
Okay. So one of the goals here is this idea that this would allow schools to talk about dyslexia more openly, that schools have had issues with being able to identify students with dyslexia because it's like a word nobody wants to say in a school environment. Do you think that's the case?
I wish I could say no. I find it astonishing. You know, it's not a word that we tell our children, don't say that word. It's not a dirty word. It's a scientifically validated condition that applies to 20% of children in a school. So the fact that schools have not been talking about it, and they haven't, I mean, that's astonishing. So it is very important that Arizona has joined the other states in using the word, but it also has to be used correctly and wisely. So again, I come back. It's really important to screen children. You don't want to do it after the fact. You want to do it to catch it. Because the impact of dyslexia, when it's not recognized, not only do children struggle to read, but they begin to think school is not for them and that they're not very bright. And that becomes very important, too.
So in the debate surrounding this law in our state legislature here, they said that some students are often mistakenly identified as disabled or put into a special education program that doesn't really suit their needs when they are, in fact, dyslexic. Do you think that's happening often in schools?
Yeah, I do. I think we have to increase our awareness of what dyslexia is and how to approach it. It's not a scary topic. And what's important for people to realize is that when they choose a program to teach children to read, you know, there's so much anecdotal information and mythology and so forth. But as a scientist, I have to say you have to look at the evidence. Have there been studies? It's very, very straightforward. It's something people shouldn't be afraid of, but should welcome.
So how difficult can it be for a family to get an accurate diagnosis of dyslexia today?
Again, I wish I could say not very difficult, but I think it is difficult for families that are low income and aren't able to go out and get a private evaluation. It's very, very difficult. And even for families that are able to get a private evaluation, the people who perform the evaluations vary in their knowledge of dyslexia. Schools can perform the evaluation, but often there are many roadblocks put up. And so parents get very, very frustrated. They don't give up, but it's very, very difficult. As I say, it's such a common problem. The key is that in dyslexia, you can have a very high IQ, but read at a much, much lower level. That's why it's an unexpected difficulty. That's why people who are dyslexic can be very, very intelligent. People who are dyslexic have won Nobel Prizes, Pulitzer Prizes, have been leaders in the law, in medicine, in art. So it's a paradox. The same person that's a slow reader can be a very fast thinker.
Dr. Sally Shaywitz is professor of learning development at Yale University and the author of Overcoming Dyslexia. Dr. Shaywitz, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.